Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are awaiting our guest, the ballistic Brent Myers. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you guys a brief little introduction about myself. My name is Jordan J. Garber. And Wrestling World 247 has been a website. Well, now I should say now it's WW247, but you get the picture. Wrestling World 247, WW247, blah, 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 was a website that has been around for quite a while. And I'm going to finish that thought right after this interview because our guest is calling in and it's going to be none other than Ballistic Brent Myers. Let's get him on the line. How's it going, Brent?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I am doing really, really good. I actually made a mistake. This is WW247 Extra, not WW247 Live. WW247 Extra offers the extra coverage of wrestling interviews from stars that request to be interviewed, like yourself. And, you know, you have a terrific resume added up, so I thought I'd get you on the program tonight. But first off and foremost, introduce yourself to the world.
Well, my name is the BBM, Ballistic Brent Myers. I'm a professional wrestler originally out of Chicago, well-traveled. I'm currently residing in Las Vegas, Nevada. Been working for quite a while, since about 1997. I actually got into the business through my father, who was promoting Tri-State Wrestling back in the Midwest in the late 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, actually. And I stuck with it ever since. And, you know, I'm still doing my thing, still kind of young, and look forward to a lot more shows here in 2016. And I have some tricks up my sleeve. I got a lot of things lined up for 2016, so I can't wait.
Well, you know, we have 27 minutes. We have a lot of time to talk about wrestling. And before we do, which will be very soon, tell me about Vegas, man. Are you finding a lot of babes in Vegas, or is Vegas just Vegas?
Yeah, you know, I'm chasing skirts every now and then, but I honestly really don't have time to do so too often. I'm pretty busy, you know, with the professional wrestling business, of course, and then also, you know, I'm doing some things along the lines of self-defense instruction and seminars and things like that. And, you know, working another shoot job in addition to that. So I'm just go constantly. But, you know, Vegas is fun, and any chance I get to break away and go out to the casinos or a club or something like that, you know, I do so, definitely. But it's not too often right now.
Let's get this interview underway then. Let's just get this started, because everyone in the Midwest knows who you are, and I want the world to know who BBM is. So, you know, you said that your father ran Tri-State Wrestling in the Midwest. Like, early memories of your childhood in professional wrestling, what was it? I know we had this interview a few years back, and the fans from back then can catch that, or they already heard and know about the beginnings, but let's just get a little refresher. What got you started in the professional wrestling business? What was the first thing your dad taught you that kind of just made you want to break into the business as quick as you could?
That's a good question. You know, honestly, he always taught my older brother and I how to carry yourself. Even though we were little kids, he would always, you know, teach us, hey, you know, actually, you know, don't come off starstruck, mark out, don't bother the wrestlers in the back, leave them alone, there's a time and place for everything, you know, and separate yourself. And that stuck with me because, you know, the way you carry yourself as a professional wrestler in this business is everything, because, again, you know, you will not separate yourself from, you know, the average Joe or, you know, some mark buying a ticket. If you're bothering the other guys constantly, if you're, you know, acting like a goofball, you know, you don't take yourself seriously, no one else is going to take you serious, you know. That's kind of the fast forward of that. But, you know, he's always taught us, you know, to carry yourself well and do the right things, and just, you know, the proper mannerisms around a locker room or professional wrestling show, stuff like that, you know. And then, you know, as far as, you know, being introduced to a professional wrestling ring, the first time I was ever stepped foot in a wrestling ring was when my father was constructing a ring a few days to a show with one of his tag team champions named Tim Kelly, one half of the Fabulous Kelly Brothers. They were putting a ring together, and my older brother and I and the wrestler's son, we were all rolling around in the ring, of course, messing around and taking what we thought were bumps, you know, and stuff like that. And that was my first time ever in a wrestling ring. And once you get in there, you can figure it out then, too. You know, hey, I want to do this when I get older, or I don't, you know. Some people want to be a firefighter. Some people want to be a police officer. Some people want to be a pro wrestler. Two biggest things, dreams of mine, were to be a firefighter and to be a professional wrestler. I have dabbled in the fire department scene for a while, and obviously I got into pro wrestling. So I pretty much followed my my father's footsteps, you know. I could never fill his shoes, but, you know, follow his way, definitely, you know.
You know what? When I was a kid and I started going to the shows for the first time, I had that same issue, too, with the guys in the back. Was that, I think I was like 14 when I went to my first show, and I didn't know better. So I'd always walk up to the wrestlers, and I would say, hey, I'm Jordan J. Garber, blah, blah, blah. And like, I would piss some of them off. And once I grew older, I think around the age of, it took a long time, 17 or 18, no, probably around 16, 17, I said, okay, you know what? It's time to learn when to say the right things and when to say them. And
right.
I learned
right.
that eventually. But when I first started going to shows as a fan, like, I didn't have any idea. All I was a little kid that just wanted to see a professional wrestling show. But as I started getting into interviewing and into my greater stages of success in wrestling media, I learned how to respect the boys in the back and respect the talent and do all of that. And that's a very valuable lesson that you brought up there, Brent, is that stuff like that is valuable to the kids listening to this program right now that can apply that knowledge for their future in case they want to train to become a professional wrestler. So I appreciate you sharing that information. Now, you brought up a self-defense course that you're doing with Dan B. Severn, former WWE star. Tell us what that's all about.
Well, you know, both of us have strong backgrounds, obviously, in professional wrestling, but we also have strong backgrounds in the security and law enforcement fields to a degree. When it comes to self-defense instruction and stuff like that, we wanted to take it one step further, and rather than just doing some local seminars that he was doing on his own or I was doing on my own, we wanted to kind of travel a bit more with it. And we've been in the gist of setting some things up, still putting some things in stone, but looks like a go. We're going to be doing a self-defense seminar right here in Las Vegas at a Taekwondo school. And as a matter of fact, that school is being looked at by America's Got Talent TV show currently. And we may be doing something with them in the future. It's looking very good. Yeah. So, you know, we try to you know, help out various police departments, various security firms, you know, professional athletes of many different forms. Anybody wants to learn how to defend themselves properly in a professional setting or just in, you know, in general on the streets, you know, in this crazy world we live in, unfortunately, you know, the police and security and things of that nature are constantly dealing with a lot of combative people, irate people, in a variety of places, and, you know, we want to do the best we can to help protect them.
Now, tell us about the appearances that you've been making lately for Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling. What's that all about?
That's a good question, too. I've been traveling quite a bit to Southwestern Illinois, Missouri area from Las Vegas, doing a a bunch of TV shots as Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling has a contract with Charter Cable TV Communications there in southwestern Illinois. And it's promoted by Herb Simmons, who is also very well known out there. He's the mayor of East Carondelet, Illinois. Very well respected. I enjoy working for him. Going back a little bit here, my father, prior to him promoting Tri-State Wrestling, he was in the process of getting his Illinois wrestling license, promoter's license, and he temporarily piggybacked off of promoter Herb Simmons, and he was co-promoting with him for a little while and stayed in touch with him and introduced me to him, you know, later on in life. And, I got hooked up with SICW, and they have some really good shows, quality shows. Like I said, now they got TV, and I've been going out there frequently, and probably here in 2016 I'll be doing a lot more work with them again. And I look forward to it, and I am also in the gist of talking to Dynamo Pro Wrestling out there in southwestern Illinois and possibly working for them again. The last time I worked for them, I had worked some guys that were receiving training from Ring of Honor's Michael Elgin at the time. So that was a pretty cool deal. And we'll see what else happens here in the new year.
You talked about earlier about Dan Severn and your self-defense course, but tell us, like, in the beginning stages of meeting up with Dan, like, what was it? How did you get this whole thing put together?
Originally, I got placed in touch with Dan Severn through my uncle, which is Bill Brown, who was the original owner of Florida Championship Wrestling, which is now NXT. Knew each other for quite a while, and Dan actually worked for my uncle a while back in Florida when he was promoting there. He also owned, Sunshine Wrestling, I believe, in Florida, in addition to Florida Championship Wrestling. And Dan Severn, Gangrel, Tokyo Monster, Cahagas, a lot of them guys worked for my uncle back in the day. So, if I don't have a contact, you know, he has one or vice versa, you know, stuff like that. So that's how I got placed in touch with him. And then, we think alike, on a lot of different things. And we started putting some ideas together. And like I said, we have similar backgrounds, and it's a great fit. So we look forward to doing what we do.
So let me hold that thought for now. You talked about Dan Severn. We covered that topic, which is great, because now everyone knows the whole behind the scenes part of this whole self-defense program that you have going on. And it's great. Like, who can deny Dan Severn? If you're learning from Dan Severn about law enforcement or, like, self-defense or security, what a better, there's no better guy to learn from other than him. And to have you on his side with this whole program is a true benefit to anyone that gets involved with it. Now, you're kind of traveling back and forth right now. You're in Illinois, and you're in Vegas. You're in Illinois, you're in Vegas. Tell us about that. Why are you traveling back and forth?
Hey, you just hit me with all kinds of great questions. I appreciate that. There's a lot of states that I hit up working shows, but those are the most that I'm doing right now. I've been to several states, and one of the main reasons behind working state to state is, as an independent professional wrestler, obviously we freelance. We're not under contract. We're not on TV consistently. You know, like I said, I'm working TV in Illinois and stuff like that. You know, it's local TV, maybe seen in a few different states and stuff like that. But we're not on, you know, USA Network or Spike TV every single week like some of the guys that are under contract. Could that change someday? It could. I hope so. But right now, I got to be seen in as many places as I can in place of not being on TV all the time, if that makes any sense. You know, it's supplemental for not being on TV all the time. You got to make the travels. And, you know, when I have worked as extra talent for the WWE, I remember listening to William Regal, him telling me, you know, you got to be seen, man. You got to be seen. You know, work here, work there, do what you got to do to keep being seen, and that'll make you of more value to us as well. you know, so I always kept that in mind.
So you had some WWE extra roles. Tell us not just all of them, but how the process went, because there's many wrestling fans around the world that want to know what it's like to get a tryout or an extra role with WWE. So, you know, from everyone listening around the world, state to state, province to province, country to country, let them know how that process went for you when you made your WWE extra debut.
How that got started was I was traveling from Chicago to Las Vegas before I had moved here. I was working for a promotion that no longer exists that was doing pretty well at the time, Adrenaline Unleashed. And while I was sitting in my hotel, I seen a Monday Night Raw commercial come on for Monday Night Raw. Going to be in the Las Vegas area soon. And I had already taken some time off from my shoot job to work, you know, the independent show. And I had a few extra days to mess around, and I realized I was going to be there when Raw was there. And I had already put my information in the FCW recruit profile, which is what the WWE was going off of at the time to recruit extra talent and stuff like that. And I had contacted the WWE office after I had seen that commercial, and, you know, it sparked my interest, and I let them know. I was like, look, you know, I've been trying for a while. I've been sending you guys photos, videos. I never really got a solid answer as to if I'm going to be used or not. You know, if there's any lead on anything, please do let me know. And, you know, I appreciate it, and this, that, and the next. And they actually said they were looking at mine and a couple other guys' profile as I was calling them. And how coincidental is that?
Wow.
And, furthermore, they said, look, we remember hearing from you before. You were very polite. We appreciate that. It's not common that guys are polite. You know, usually it's all about them and they're kind of rude. You were polite. It wasn't all about you. You were, you know, very respectful, yada, yada, yada. And they asked me if I would like to come work Monday Night Raw as extra talent. And if I do so, would I be willing to work SmackDown the next night? If so, they would book me instantly. And they did. And so it was pretty cool because I was already booked, like I said, for the independent show. So it was kind of a triple shot. I did the independent show, then I did Raw, then I did SmackDown. And it continued on for a little while. Throughout 2012 and into 2013, I worked in California, Chicago, a couple other areas in Illinois, and then Las Vegas. And sometimes, you know, I would be used for a TV spot, and then the other times I would be geared up and ready to go, but just standing behind the back, maybe cutting promos and stuff like that so they can get a better look at me and, you know, just kind of there networking and stuff. But I was being paid, I was being taken care of, and being involved with the WWE is a giant plus in itself, you know.
This is where it gets fun. This is where it gets fun, and sorry for cutting you off there, but if the fans don't mind, if you don't mind telling the fans, tell us what spots you were in for what segments, and then fans might go back and try to watch it, and then they'll say, oh, hey, look, it's him.
Yeah, I recall working a TV segment with Jerry the King Lawler and CM Punk in Chicago at the Allstate Arena. That was during a Jerry Lawler and CM Punk feud. How that actually got started was originally I was geared up in case they needed me for a match. I think they might have been filming Superstars or something prior to Raw or something like that. They were filming something else and maybe getting plugged me into a match. And then that didn't happen. They were changing some things around, you know, on the fly. And then they had me go down to ringside and meet with John Cena, and we were supposed to do a little TV spot there in his main event match, but he needed approval from Vince McMahon and Triple H, and some of the stuff he wanted to do, they denied. They didn't approve it. They didn't want extra talent being involved in certain stuff, and then it was just a big mess at first. Nobody really knew what we were doing. And then all of a sudden, one of the officials came up to me and said, "Hey, how quick can you gear down?" I'm like, "Gear down?" I thought I was going to do something, you know. And they're like, no, we just want you to take your gear off because we want to throw a WWE t-shirt on you. And if you have a pair of blue jeans and black shoes, that'd be great because we'd like to plug you in a segment. And, you know, we don't have a match for you right now. So, you know, I always heard you never say no in the WWE, you know, common sense. So, you know, I was like, I'll do whatever they want me to do. If they want me to wear a pink skirt, I'm in, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I took my gear off as fast as I can, and like, we're going on air in 2 minutes. I never unlaced a pair of wrestling boots so fast in my life, you know. And I don't know what I did. I jetpacked to the dressing room that I had and took my gear off and threw the clothes on they gave me. And Triple H came back there, showed me a couple restraint holds and stuff like that. He had me apply them to him and see how it would look on TV. And then presto change it, I was involved in a segment before you knew it. And then, you know, they've like I said, brought me back for some stuff following that, you know. And then sometimes, like I said, I was used, and sometimes I was just there. But they always took care of me, paid me well, paid the other guys well. A lot of perks, too. They feed you really well in the catering room there. So I can't complain. Some guys, you know, they're like, "Oh, well, it's just extra talent," or "I'm doing a job," or this and that. I never looked at it like that. I was always glad to be there, period. And, you know, and the fact that you're getting paid what they pay you for extra talent is pretty good. You know, I can't complain at all. And you never know what it could lead to. It could lead to a signing of a contract in the future, you know. You just never know.
Well, that's one of the things, too, is, like, you can still say at the end of the day, hey, what? Someone might diss you in professional wrestling and make fun of it, but you can say to them, "Hey, did you ever have a chance with the WWE? Did you actually appear on TV for the
right.
WWE?
Right, bingo.
No. You can say that, man, for the rest of your life, which is pretty
right,
good.
Exactly. It's a huge resume builder. You know what's funny is I was applying for a shoot job one time, and the one of the assistant security directors at the time saw that I had experience in the WWE and different. They were wanting you to list like hobbies, activities, experiences, and stuff like that. And I listed, you know, a couple independent promotions I worked for and then the WWE and stuff like that. And when they saw that on the application, they nearly jumped out of the chair, got the main director and said, "You got to hire this guy, man. You got to hire this guy. This guy has experience with the WWE, you know." it's huge to people sometimes. You know, the guy nearly marked out on me.
Indeed.
And here I am, you know, here I am. It's just extra talent, but... You know, just seeing the name got him excited.
Definitely. And those things, like you said, it's a huge resume builder, and it can really set up your future. In the future, having that on your resume, even applying, like you said, applying to a job and having WWE on your resume? Are you kidding me? Like, most people just
right.
get hired in because they think that would be cool. So, anyways, you are working in Vegas right now. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, you had said, you know, it's cool and stuff like that. I have to say one of the coolest moments of ever working for the WWE is when I was at SmackDown. I forget what location that was, but I had worked SmackDown a couple times as extra talent. And Vince McMahon came back there, and some people were like, I don't think he's going to say much to us or, you know, come up to us or say, you know, do this or that. And he did. He actually stopped. Shook all of her hands, and when he shook my hand, he grabbed my forearm along with my hand a couple times, you know, firm shake, and repeated my last name back to me a couple times and looked me, you know, direct in the eyes, and I'll never forget that. I was kind of blown away by that, you know. He didn't know me from Adam, you know, and then here he is, you know, repeating my last name and giving that, you know, extra firm handshake, and I thought that was pretty cool.
That's awesome stuff. Now,
yeah.
You're working in Vegas right now for Big Valley Wrestling. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, after Adrenaline Unleashed had folded and they left the Vegas area, BVW was formed by a former official from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling TV show here in Vegas back in the 80s. His son's a professional wrestler, and he felt bad for his son not having a place to work in Vegas anymore. So he figured he'd form his own promotion to give his son and his son's fellow wrestling friends and stuff like that a place to work. And he knew that I had worked out here before for other promotions and stuff like that, and he had let me know that he was going to be running something and if I was interested in coming in for him. And so I started going to his training facility, training with them guys, and then, you know, working the shows when I can. I was working a lot more shows for him a while back. Now I just, you know, here or there, you know, not nearly as much as I'm very busy with my shoot job and working other promotions in the Midwest and stuff like that. I don't have the availability that I once had, you know.
Who are some of your favorite guys you enjoyed working with in the ring?
You got kind of cut off there. What was that? I'm sorry.
Sorry, my apologies. Who are some of your favorite guys you wrestled with in the ring?
Some of my favorite guys. Well, with BVW, Big Valley Pro, I'd have to say Lethal Lee. He gave me a run for my money. the guy's in shape, and you know, he knows the stuff in the ring, so that was a good match with him. I've had some great matches with Night Train Gary Jackson, also known as Gorgeous Gary Jackson. I used to do some work for WCW. I had worked him for a promotion in the Midwest called the WWA a while back when I was first breaking in. And then we got back in the ring for Southern Illinois Championship Wrestling, and we continued our feud and took that all the way from the Midwest into Vegas when we worked for Vendetta Pro. So that was a great match. And then not long ago, I just worked the Tokyo Monster Cahagas. Now, he's very, very good. He's very, very rough. You know, he's what some guys would complain about and say stiff, you know, or potato, crowbar. But me, I kind of like that. You know, I like guys to lay the shots in there. Some guys don't like that, but it doesn't bother me. You know, so I had an excellent match with him. The fans were into it from start to finish, you know. That's what it's all about. And, I would have to say, speaking of which, the match with Cahagas is probably the best match of 2015 that I had. And I didn't know until recently he had been in the ring with Matt Hardy. So they had a match together prior to our match. So it was good to be in there with somebody who's worked him, you know.
You talk about 2015 and you talk about that match, but what's in store for you in 2016? What are your goals for this year that you want to accomplish?
Well, touching on the, you know, self-defense seminars again, I want to get that off the ground. I want to do a lot more of those, you know, and I would like to get out to Florida. Long story short, I have been in the gist of talking to I Believe in Wrestling promoters, as I'm good friends with Santana Garrett and Chasen and all those guys down there. So, you know, I'd like to get out there. It's been kind of put off for a while as I had other obligations and stuff going on that every time I plan to go out there, I got to kind of shift it around and put it off. But I will make my way out there for sure this time around and be seen somewhere different for a change, you know.
Awesome stuff. And is there anything you want to plug tonight before we wrap it up?
You know, just, you know, keep your eyes open and your ears open. If you hear the BBM, Ballistic Brent Myers is going to be around in your area, go check me out. You know, you never know what you might miss. You know, I've been told I put on a decent show, and the sky is the limit. I plan on doing a lot of different stuff. I'm working on some different moves, some different finishes. You'll see some cool stuff. So if you hear my name, you know, I might be in your area. Definitely go check out the show.
Awesome stuff. And before we do wrap it up for good, tell the world what Ballistic Brent Myers is all about.
Ballistic Brent Myers has always been about and always will be about two things: protecting people and entertaining people. Remember
that. Awesome. Thank you very much. Have a good one.
You too.
That was none other than the ballistic Brent Myers here on the first ever episode of WW247 Extra. Now, finishing my thought from the beginning of this podcast was that Wrestling World 247 has a long and extended history, and simply put, the history is going to continue in this new era of WW247. Thank you all for listening. Have a great night. And, of course, follow me on Twitter @JordanJGarver. Take care, guys.